been said that people disappoint, but pizza is eternal. That adage is being put to the test with Canadians weighing in on pizza, love, and slice etiquette. 6 in 10 Canadians have some type of relationship deal breaker when it comes to pizza, but 1 in 3 have no pizza love limits at all. The top deal breaker was eating pizza in bed at 18%, and closely behind was anchovies on pizza at 17%. Next up were picks the cheese off at 10, eats pizza with a knife and fork at 8%, uses too much garlic dipping sauce at 7%, puts pineapple on pizza at 6%, doesn't eat the crust at 6%, and eats it cold at 4%. So cuddle up on the couch and share some za and some love.
All right, welcome back to Community Living Radio. Today we're broadcasting live from CITR 101.9 FM. You got to remember where the heck we are. And we got preempted over CFRO over the weekend on our Sunday slot, and we're broadcasting live from here. And Allison is not with us today because she is on assignment, and we'll be playing that episode that she's out recording starting on Sunday from CFRO, and then again here as we usually do on Tuesday in this slot here on CITR. So we have Paul with us from the Disability Caucus, and we're going to talk about 2019 and government and disabilities. And first off, Paul, while we have you here, a lot of people have been asking me this question, and I haven't really heard a lot about what's going on in Nanaimo. Do you know anything about that?
You mean with the elections up there?
Yeah, with the by-election. So what's going on there?
I'm not clear on it myself. I've been expecting that the fight will be between the Greens and the NDP, and ultimately that doesn't matter which one of them wins. But I'd like to see some consistency. But that's what my impression was. The fight was between the Greens and the NDP.
Okay.
But I could be. I've not actually been following it because it's. It just hasn't been in the paper that much.
Yeah, I think the first I saw anything about it was in the paper today. But I saw the headline about something about Nanaimo, but I really didn't get a chance to read the article. So. So I guess we'll have to report further on that later on today. Chime into depictions.media, and maybe we'll have something up there later on today about what's going on more about Nanaimo and the by-election.
I keep on wondering why these people abandoned Chip and Horgan's government. Nobody's talking about that either.
No, they're not.
You'd have to wonder if maybe Horgan's hard to get along with.
Yeah, you do have to wonder about that. A lot of people have jumped ship with him. Of course, the other one with government, is. I do happen to know him and Darryl Plekis with what's going on over there. Investigations and things like that. So government, as per usual, muddy water. Right? You know, so that's a lot of what happens with the government, right?
Yes, they're very careful not to allow information to get out unless they specifically want it out.
Mm-hmm.
The NDP is actually masters of that. They were in the 90s as well. You didn't know what they were doing most of the time.
Yeah.
But that's a shame.
Yeah.
I've also noticed that a lot of the MLAs are cutting out the contact information from their online sites at the government, so you can't look up how to phone Shane Simpson or email him these days.
Yeah, I noticed that too. And before I had some personal relationships with a few people. One of them being Jenny Sims. The other, now I can't even remember her name, in Coquitlam.
Selena Robinson?
Selena, yeah. Of course, the NDP took government, I was able to call these people and say, hi, how's it going? What's going on? What are we planning on? And all that sort of stuff. And I haven't heard anything from either one of them since they formed government. So,
mm-hmm. It's amazing how quiet, how secretive the NDP is.
Yeah.
But the topic that we were starting with was accessibility.
Yes.
Which is a precondition to everything about disability rights. It's the beginning. You have to be able to get access to things, electronic, physical, have access to sign language or other alternative communication methods, even to be able to participate in society. And so it's the beginning. I just finished reading a general comment, a note on the issue. And whenever the UN talks about an issue in a general comment, they relate it to all the other rights issues that are in question.
Right.
So yes, it's a foundation right. We've noticed that accessibility hasn't been as big on the government's agenda as we'd hoped. For example, parent groups are still very upset about the lack of access their children have to classrooms, being mm-hmm. sent home during the day, because there aren't enough special education assistance.
Yeah, that's one I've been fighting for since since my oldest stepson started school, and he is now 20.
Mm-hmm.
It's like he's out of school now, and I still see parents struggling with either having access to the right aids, to the right we should say like computer aids, physical aids, dealing with it with like the LA, as they call it, the learning support teachers, and it's all supposed to be written into
an IEP.
The IEP, which is another fancy yeah. term that means that, oh yeah, we promised to do something for you, but they never actually do. So,
yeah, and often people require testing before they can get anything, and then the testing never happens.
Well. Yeah. Some of the people I know that actually got the testing done, they actually had to go outside the system and then bring the notes from the doctors outside of the system back into the system.
Yes, expensive.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, when I was working with children in the 90s, autistic children in particular, we had the same problems back then. I don't know why there's such resistance against actually supporting people with disabilities, children with disabilities in our academic systems. It's a gross violation of their rights. But it's a budget issue. They want to spend the money on something else, I imagine. That's why we really desperately need the Convention on the Rights of Persons with Disabilities in place, so we can start suing people.
Yes, maybe that's one of the reasons why they don't want all these things in place, is because now you can, you mm-hmm. know.
As soon as they get that legislation into BC, in the BC government, we'll be able to actually fight. We really don't have a lot of rights in Canada, and people have been suing and losing. So we've been delaying doing much of anything about that because there's no point in losing. But Rob Fleming, the access to the students to the classroom, it's the same. I mean, the excuse the NDP partisans always have is that we're making up for 16 years of Liberal government. But, I mean, if they increase the rate, I mean, educational assistants aren't paid very well. They've never been paid very well. Mm-hmm. If they increase the rate, they could probably draw more in from other parts of the country. But there you go. But another part of Rob Fleming's failure is that he's not providing people with access to the Center for Equitable Library Access, which is provided in almost every other province, all across the province. Mm-hmm. And what it means is that local libraries have to request it and pay for it. And what it, so that the CELA provides you with access to audiobooks, Braille, etc., accessible formats.
Right.
So there's all sorts of people in BC that can't get access to accessible formats for their, and I don't understand why that is. I mean, it's just a simple. It's not. I don't imagine it's all that expensive, but they don't want to do it because it's they don't want to pay for it.
Some of it could be that they actually have to put someone in that position, give someone a job to do the work and to ensure that the thing is in place. And that could be part of the downfall, you know, that, oh, wait, we have to pay for somebody to actually do this.
Well, supposedly they have someone. A woman from the, from a learning disabilities organization. I think she specializes in dyslexia. She met with people who oversee all this, and mm-hmm. they said no. It's frustrating because parents have to expend so much energy and disability advocates so much energy just to be told no. But an enormous issue as far as access is your friend Selena Robinson. And actually, I don't think it's just these individual ministers. I think it's John Horgan himself orchestrating things behind the scenes on what priorities are to be looked at. But they, as of December 10th, they made it so that the provincial government is no longer responsible for ensuring that disabled parking exists.
Yeah, it's now left up to the local governments. And from what I understand, some of those handicapped spots have shrunk
or disappeared.
Mm-hmm.
Victoria has, they were during the municipal election, they were bragging about this huge fund they have to actually make Victoria more accessible, but they've had it for a while and they've not done anything about these disabled parking spots. There was a review of them, and a lot of the times it's really simple to fix them. But people have actually seen their disabled parking spots disappear. People, building owners have painted over top of them and made them regular parking spots. And yes, they've shrunk. I mean, I was at Thrifty's the other day, and the disabled parking spot is basically a regular parking spot with a spot now. I mean, how you're mm-hmm. supposed to get in and out of your vehicle, I don't know, but...
Well, for example, one of our friends, Tabison, I watched her car. She's got this specialized car that actually has a lift. It lowers her chair into place so she can get into it and then wheel away from the parking spot.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if it's a small spot, how can she actually, she might be able to pull her car into the spot, but how is she going to get the chair lift to put the chair in place for her to be able to get into her chair?
Exactly. It's quite, I don't understand. The only thing I can think of is that the convention has a provision for training people about accessibility and teaching them about mm-hmm. why it's important and why all the rights are important. And I think the BC government needs to learn that because they don't seem to understand. I mean, they really don't. I mean, to actually, on the eve of putting in the rights for people with disabilities into law in BC, they're taking rights away from us. And how do you have access to your community if you can't park?
Yeah.
It's mm-hmm. not like the sidewalks are all that wonderful. I mean, I hear people regularly talking about not being able to get access from their sidewalks are so bumpy they can barely handle it in their wheelchairs.
Yeah.
So.
One of the other things that I heard someone say, and I actually watched this because they were in a motorized chair, and there was something as much as a half inch lip.
Oh, yeah.
Where the accessible ramp part for the crosswalk would be. And it was just enough to either slow down or actually hold up that chair.
Mm-hmm.
And the idea is to make it flush with the rest of the street so that it's just a smooth ride up mm-hmm. back up onto the sidewalk again. And I've seen a number of groups saying that no, we need that in different municipalities. We need that to come flush, and it doesn't always happen.
No, and back in the 90s when they were putting in these lips, these wheelchair accessible spaces for people with wheelchair on corners, they actually made a mistake and didn't put any provisions in for the blind. So they had to redo a lot of them
mm-hmm.
because they have to know where the edge of the road is too.
Yes, there's got to be a provision for that also. You know, otherwise, you think you could be walking down the middle of the road if you're blind, right?
Yeah, or I mean, what Lisa Helps did. I mean. And she's challenged the court case that's trying to fix the bike lanes so they're not putting blind people's lives at risk when they try and walk across them to get onto a bus.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't understand it. These laws are changing, but it's a lot harder to fix things after they've been done. You'd think that they would have actually had studies to figure out how to do it to begin with, especially since the UN documents are very clear that you involve people with disabilities and their representative organizations, which means organizations run by and for people with disabilities.
Right.
But they don't do that. They normally want to talk to service providers who... What do they have? Why would they know?
Yeah. Well, what they do is, like you said, they talk to service providers. I know of, and we have interviewed at least two, if not more just in the past year, disability consultants who are disabled.
Mm-hmm.
That... They go into businesses and make sure that things are accessible.
Mm-hmm.
And they do that before the business actually even starts up. The municipalities and the provincial governments could do the same.
Yes. Yeah, it always surprised me when they farmed out a lot of that stuff to Rick Hansen, because the government is responsible for building codes and things like that. And we've been dealing with this since the 80s, as far as I can, my recollection goes back. It's not like it's, and there's been all sorts of things built since then, but it doesn't seem to make much difference. They just ignore the principles of universal design when they're building them.
Mm-hmm.
I know that the Esquimalt, for example, the Esquimalt Municipal Hall has sections in it that are inaccessible to the disabled, so they can't work in those sections. You should be able to work, having sections of the building not accessible to you is a major problem for that. But it's a huge issue, and the education component that's part of the convention is immediate.
Mm-hmm.
They don't. It's not something they can say, "Oh, we don't have money for it." It's mandatory for it to be immediate. That they go out and start educating people.
Yeah. Okay, so with that, let's jump to a quick break here, if the system will allow us. Hang on, Paul.
Okay.
CITR and Mint Records have released their biannual collab, Pop Alliance Volume 5. This glamorous record features staple Vancouver artists Devours, Swim Team, Lord Fuckerman, Chris Horrific, and so many more. Get your copy for only $15 on iTunes or at the Mint Records store now.
This band is really good, and I've been wanting to find out more about local music.
Yeah, I heard about it through CITR and Discorder.
What's that?
It's a radio station. You can review all the music that comes in and help out with touring bands or just do some data entry to get started in their music department.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, you can just email volunteer@citr.ca and they can help you get into the station or just come in whenever.
Well, I'll be there, so...
Hey, this is Noah from Christ on Parade, and you are listening to CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver, BC, Canada.
And you're listening to CITR 101.9 FM, and this is Community Living Radio. I am Michael, and I'm here with Paul, and we're talking about accessibility and where we're being aided and where we're being let down. And I think we're having more letdowns than we are actually aided. What do you think, Paul?
Yeah, the things are changing so slowly. It's well, as one of the committee members of the group that's with the municipal government in Victoria said, it's glacial speed. But I wasn't able to persuade them to participate in a protest, unfortunately. Yes, I find that people who get those spots don't really want to be radicals. It puts their spots at risk.
Well, you know, we have this saying, if you have a voice, let it out.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, one of the things is the distinction that I came across that I thought was interesting is that reasonable accommodation is for individuals. So if you have if you face a barrier, you as an individual ask for accommodation so that the barrier is gone. Mm-hmm. And it's the limit on that is undue hardship. So they can, if it causes the whoever you're getting the accommodation from undue hardship, they can say no. But accessibility is for groups. There is no undue hardship attached to it.
Mm-hmm.
If they're going to build an accessible environment, they have to do it in a way, do it regardless, and it needs to be done without any consideration for undue hardship, which actually is more economical. If you're making an environment that's accessible for people with disabilities, it's accessible for seniors too. And it's better design. You mean universal design is just good design.
So. Well, you bring up a really good point, and I always say that we're all going to head towards a disability because as we age out, we head towards being disabled somehow.
Mm-hmm.
You know, things just pop up as our bodies grow older, right?
Mm-hmm. It seems to be unavoidable.
Exactly. So it would think that as a society, as our aging population grows, that we will want to put more and more of these things in place so that we have these comforts as we grow older, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I find that that's one of the things they keep on talking about. It's like the issue of global warming and having 12 years left to fix it. People have trouble looking into the distance and saying, okay, 12 years, we should be getting going on it. And they just sort of dismiss it. Oh, maybe next year we'll do something. It's the same thing with accessibility issues, with accommodations. It becomes a low budget item unless they are pressed.
I think sometimes as a species, we got to get slapped in the face before we take action.
Yeah, it seems that way. Yeah. One of the things that was really striking with the with the federal government's Bill C-81. The Canadian Accessibility Act was, hopefully the Senate will fix this, but it had no timelines or objectives and no evaluation of whether or not what's being brought in is good or not. But the timelines were critical, and the objectives were critical, and the lack of monitoring that. In place, that's not in place is critical. But throughout any UN document you look at, those are the things that are always stressed. These things can't just be. There's millions of man hours invested in making these things work, and they didn't seem to be referencing all those studies and there's international cooperation on countries helping each other how to design things well. But they opted out of those too. It's quite striking. But we're very hopeful the Senate will make some corrections to the legislation before it passes, and it needs to pass before the fall. Otherwise, we won't have an Accessibility Act.
Mm-hmm.
Is
there a deadline to actually having this Accessibility Act?
It has to happen before the next election. But Trudeau, whoever comes in, could pass it. I mean, it was actually the Harper that actually bought into having an accessibility act, having the convention in law in Canada. It wasn't the Liberals, the Harper did it. But he didn't move beyond that.
I see.
We now have an option. Apparently, we have an optional protocol in place that so the UN can evaluate and comment on our progress. So that will be helpful. I don't imagine they'll have a lot nice to say if the legislation doesn't change. But it's a start. Now BC has to have legislation, and the only downside is that the rumors are that Shane Simpson is planning on basing it on the federal act, like the federal act based it on the Ontario Act.
Mm-hmm.
Neither of which are very good. But I think they should just base it on the fact that the convention says what needs to be done and do it, rather than basing it on each other's bad legislation.
Well, Is there a system of accountability internationally to make these sort of things happen?
There is. The UN has a committee that oversees all this, and they will make comments, but they don't have any power to enforce.
I see.
It's just embarrassing. You see, we've agreed to these international laws.
Mm-hmm.
The rule of law, as Harper and Trudeau and Horgan keep on talking about the rule of law. Well, this is a rule of law issue. We've agreed to these international laws, but we're trying to avoid implementing them. One of the things that's really striking, I thought was very disappointing, is that Carla Quattro, I always have trouble pronouncing her last name, the Minister for Accessibility for Disability, said that it was too much trouble to bring into place allowance for sign language to be a language in Canada. People with sign language that require sign language have trouble accessing it, interpreters. I even had that problem with a protest that I had. I arranged a month and a half to have captioning and sign language, and mm-hmm. The day before the event, they said they couldn't do either. So I had to cancel a deaf speaker that I was going to have speak. But it was disappointing. They just didn't have the resources to the sign language interpreters and captionists available to do it at the time.
Yeah. I know even with broadcast that there is like a extra expense. Let's put it this way. How the large broadcast systems do, they actually hire an intern to sit down and type with headphones on to type the closed captioning out and then add it back to the video.
Yes, it's actually kind of amazing sometimes what they come up with for words.
Yeah. You know, or in our case, what we do for some of the video, we actually take the sound recording and we send it off to another service and they send it back to us.
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't always. Sometimes, like you said, sometimes the words just don't match up. So
yeah,
I
was
know.
Thinking that after my experience with a local group, what I'm planning on doing when I have public meetings is to caption everything so that it's people can read it who are deafblind or who are deaf,
mm-hmm.
and have sign language interpreters, but they're not present. They're at a international site someplace on the internet doing the captioning, rather than relying on whether or not somebody's available locally that day. I can have somebody that's from who knows where, Alabama or something, doing it, because it's too important to. I hate the fact that when we try to have public meetings, but that we're excluding people who are deaf. Everybody should be included.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. Being a person who's actually hearing impaired, most people don't realize that I have the loss because there's honestly there's a shame behind it too.
Mm-hmm.
If you say that you admit to having a hearing loss, this is why I hear back in return. Well, if you would have turned the headphones down when you were younger, I guess you would be able to hear now. I was like, yeah.
Yeah, I never actually had the headphones up high.
It has nothing to do with it. But the hearing loss has nothing to do with that, and especially in most people's cases.
Yeah, I suspect most of it's genetic.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not autistic because my grandparents weren't autistic, or my parents weren't.
Yeah.
But no, I mean the There's so much that the to implement the UN Convention on the Rights of People with Disabilities is an enormous amount of work, the federal liberals just didn't project plan it so that they actually could accommodate people with that required sign language. Mm-hmm. But they started really late. They did the whole thing at the last minute. So hopefully we won't see that with the provincial government. Shane Simpson says he wants to get it right. And so I'm all in favor of that. Take a little more time and do it right. My only request from him was that he makes it very clear in the legislation that this is enabling legislation for the convention.
Well, if he's going to do it right, he needs to contact the people that actually will be using the accessibility things that will be put in place.
Yes, I've made sure he received a copy of that document. Because actually in November last year, the UN released a document that explained exactly how it needs to be done. Mm-hmm. And it's people with disabilities and their representative organizations, not people like this, organizations like the CNIB or the Canadian Council for Work. Those are service providers, not disability organizations.
Yeah.
And they have an interest in maintaining their budgets.
Mm-hmm.
Would you go to Woodlands and ask them how to provide disability friendly services to their worker to their clients? I wouldn't.
No, I'm not qualified to do that.
But I mean, Woodlands was overtly abusing people, but mm-hmm. they were service providers. Service providers they can't speak for the disabled. They don't have our interests at heart, and they also don't know what it's like to be disabled in our society.
It's a job to them, basically.
Yeah. Yeah. And their income.
Yeah.
Yeah. Their mm-hmm. income is more important than so you see organizations going to the government and asking for more funding for the things they already do, which aren't necessarily useful. I mean, one of the things, the government's consulting with the president's group, which is a bunch of executives, and they're consulting with the chambers of commerce about employment for people with disabilities. Well, in neither case are they educating them about disability discrimination and the need to make their environments barrier-free as far as prejudice within the organization. People with disabilities get hired into these ghettos that they don't move up from, and they're surrounded by people who are prejudiced against them.
Yeah. Okay, so that's a really good point. And let's get back to the prejudice against these people. The prejudice that people with disabilities would experience. Let's get back to that in a second after this break.
Okay. Hold on.
Listen, radio is an important means of communicating 3,000 years of habit in terms of diapering of babies.
Well, please tell me more.
Because radio reaches people, including those hard-to-get young people. Radio goes where they go and talks their language, recognizing the importance of contemporary sound.
And the sounds are instantly recognizable as belonging to the in-groups currently on top of the charts.
CITR, 101.9 FM, Vancouver.
It's wild.
For art's 1,000,052nd birthday, tune into a higher frequency. You are now experiencing 24 hours of radio art on CITR 101.9 FM. Stay tuned for more curated radio art from around the world.
Thousands of opinions are at our fingertips, but are all opinions informed? Does your information have a source? Is your social feed based on fact? Only facts can uncover the truth. Professional journalists are committed to balanced and nonpartisan reporting, to independent commentary. They cut through the spin to give you the information and perspective you need. Journalism is essential to democracy, a watchdog over the powerful, an independent voice. Journalism is more important than ever.
And you're listening to Community Living Radio. And today we're broadcasting live from CITR 101.9 FM. And we're with Paul. And Paul, we were about to talk about discrimination that is freely offered up to people that have disabilities.
It's not just us. I mean, ultimately, I think that an environment that if you're going to work on creating an environment that's bias-free, in as far as hiring, retention, or promoting people, you need to look at all the biases, because we all have them. By the age of five, apparently, we have all the biases that society promulgates. We've already learned them. We haven't thought about them much, but we've already learned them.
Yeah.
So trying to get people bias free in grade one won't really do it, because they've already got all those biases. It's difficult, but I mean, the fact that women are discriminated against in employment, or visible minorities, or Aboriginal people, or LGBT people, all of them would benefit from an environment, a government that was committed to trying to get employers to drop biases in their environments, and the disabled particularly, because people see the it's common sense to see the disabled as less than the non-disabled. The people just assume that if you have a disability, you have some problem with you that makes you less productive, and it's not true. We're just as capable as anybody else. It's just, especially if we're accommodated, which we usually aren't.
Mm-hmm.
There was a study, a match pair study done in Paris, where they found that less than two applications made by somebody with a disability resulted in interviews. So it's not a small problem, but Stats Canada, for some reason, they collect the data by interviewing people with disabilities and asking if they've experienced barriers. And how would you know?
that is a very good point. Now, the last ad that was played was about journalism. Mm-hmm. And we interviewed a couple weeks ago a freelance journalist who has a disability. She has EDS, which means her connective tissue doesn't connect.
Yes, Jessica on YouTube has that problem.
Yeah, yeah, and the thing of it is, even as a freelance journalist, the second that somebody finds out that she has a disability, she stopped getting articles. She stopped receiving assignments.
Yeah,
it's like, because, oh well, she's disabled. You know, we better give it to somebody else.
Yeah,
because she's not going to be able to complete the assignment. The prejudgment is that you can't complete the work.
Yeah,
and that's not necessarily true.
Well, even with somebody whose performance is above average and consistently above average in their prior evaluations, if their employer learns that they have a disability, their future performance is seen as below average, regardless of how good they are.
Mm-hmm.
It's the sort of that sort of research is actually fairly new. I don't know why, but yes, there needs to be more studies of that, because it's so obvious to the disabled community that this is happening, especially when they have a group like the Disability Caucus where they can interact and share their experiences.
Yeah, and as you said, getting back to a environment in society that doesn't have the biases, well, the biggest bias is those who have the ultimate in privilege versus those who have a lack of privilege.
Mm-hmm.
And we've both grown with finding out that, oh, I guess I don't have privilege.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's kind of a disappointment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's like, oh.
Well, and that's one of the reasons, one of the things we keep on doing on the caucus is pointing out research that points out, that shows what reality is in our environment. You know, it takes four generations. If you're born in poverty, it takes your descendants four generations to be able to earn an average income in Canada.
Yeah,
I mean that's the Organization for Economic Development and Cooperation published that study. It made it into the newspaper one day.
Well, that's not newsworthy, because the impoverished want to stay impoverished. They like just being on welfare. No, I'm sorry, that's not true. but is that not what the privileged people would actually say?
Oh yeah, they believe that there's something wrong with the people who aren't. Well, they a lot of it comes down to them saying that they earned their positions. The fact that their father got them their first full-time job, which was really good, is irrelevant to them.
Right.
I mean, my first full-time job was a paper route, and then I insulated some pipes, and then I was a dishwasher. And I mean, I got to a university, and I got into the MBA program. I didn't complete the thesis, but... a lot of that had to do with the fact that I didn't agree with most of the things the MBA program was trying to teach me. Like, globalism is good.
Wait a second. You used your brain while in a classroom? Oh, my God.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, actually, that was one of my... it was a traumatic experience, because here I was. People looked at the fact that I was a vice president of the Chamber of Commerce and on my prior professional associations board, and I did all these various things, and they were really impressed with me. And then I accidentally let them know that I had a visual impairment. Mm-hmm. And boy, was I a pariah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was interesting. I was ignorant. I didn't realize that would happen. I don't know why I was so ignorant, but I was.
Yeah. Well, having grown up being a visible minority, I just always remember going up, well, you know, people like you, yeah. I used to hear it all the time. Well, you know, kids like him, he's not going to do this. He's not going to do that. So why waste your time or your money? You need that money for this. You need it for that. Don't you? Don't waste it. So.
No, I'm sorry that happened to you.
It's, yeah.
The injustices just perpetuate themselves, because the people in positions of privilege are oblivious. They don't realize that these things are happening, and they just make excuses and it makes them feel good about themselves to think that they actually attained their positions through effort. Well, and of course, there's that gigantic American dream ideology that if you just work hard enough, you'll get where you want to go.
Yeah. Okay. It is. Let's put it to you this way. Let's see. The perception that George Bush actually worked hard to become governor and everything that to him leading to the presidency, he worked really hard, and he was a war hero and all this sort of stuff. No. May the other George Bush rest in peace, no offense, but he created all that stuff by being the director of the CIA first.
Yes, and the other George Bush didn't get his first job until he was 40. He failed out through school and got minimal grades, he just kept on getting chances to keep on going. So no, he was a complete. He was really not somebody who was the least bit qualified to have the roles he had.
Yeah.
But that's what happens if you have lots of money. I mean, right now, this is one of the things I keep on trying to push into the Disability Caucus discussions. When people attack immigrants, especially, I hate people attacking immigrants. Because they're why would you attack another marginalized group when the real problem is that a half to, in the not too distant future, 2/3 of all money will be owned by 8 people. When they tell government what they want, it gets done. We didn't have LNG strategy in the NDP campaign, but we had LNG immediately after they were elected. And it certainly doesn't serve the public interest because it's not profitable and it pollutes our environment and it accelerates climate change. But we don't. All those promises about making life more affordable for people aren't really coming up. I mean, they're not really. There's not a lot happening there, and they certainly have ignored the disabled. But they're catering to. They're giving billions, hundreds of billions of dollars to people that weren't even in their platform.
Yeah, we could go on and on about the LNG project and how it. It's just not a good idea. I'm going to propose something to you that I heard about over the holidays, and I think that it is actually a very interesting idea, to say the least, to help lower the costs of power to BC. As we know, Site C is moving forward because we couldn't. It was too far gone in order for the NDP to stop it, right?
Well, that's for their excuse anyway.
Yeah. Okay. What if I told you that that there was a wind farm project that was proposed with a customer in Washington to actually buy the power that the wind farm would create? Who's willing to pay enough so that BC Hydro would actually make a profit off of this wind farm?
It wouldn't surprise me.
Okay. The thing of it is because of where the proposal is coming from, it is not a person of privilege. It is also a person who I think he's an immigrant from Trinidad. It's being ignored.
I saw a report just the other day that said that most of the BC's power needs could be met by geothermal power.
I saw that report too. Yeah.
I mean, why do we need to spend $10 billion or $20 billion on a dam when we already have geothermal power that's not going to pollute?
Yeah, because. Now, again, we could get back to the whole LNG thing with the fault lines and stuff like that. But the fault lines actually could provide us with the geothermal energy that we need to power our cities.
Yeah, and they don't make it so that that climate change is worse.
Yeah,
yeah. It's really disappointing. But I mean, the mainstream media doesn't talk about the fact that we have enormous inequity in our society, and it's really driving. I mean, Trudeau didn't come up with the idea of buying the Keystone XL pipeline on his own. Governments are seriously influenced by our oligarchs who have an immense power.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they could actually damage our economy seriously if they wanted to. So I imagine that they get listened to all the time, even though the what they want to do doesn't serve the public.
I guess that would be the point. As we're running out of time with this, is they want to do what serves them, not what necessarily serves the public.
So. Well, and you wonder sometimes if it actually serves them. I mean, they have to deal with climate change too. They just want to make the last bit of money they can out of it. But yeah, just so you know, upcoming in the year, we'll be working on Shane Simpson and trying to get him to pay attention to the rights that people have and the CRPD rights that give us the rights that everybody else has.
Mm-hmm.
We'll continue that.
Yeah, and you guys are still found at the BC Disability Caucus on Facebook and where else?
Well, we're on BC Disability Caucus is also under BC on LinkedIn, and we're right now we're having problems with Twitter. We're Caucus BC, but we're going to get our BC underscore disability back. It's just hard to connect with them without them sending me a form letter every time I connect with them.
Mm-hmm.
They keep on explaining how to do it to me, how to fix it in a way that I've just explained doesn't work.
Yeah, that's one of the problems with these social media things is you can't find a person.
Yeah.
So, all right. Thank you, Paul, for calling in. It's been good talking to you, and let's keep pushing for the right things to be in our disability acts.
Yes.
So, all right.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, talk to you later.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Okay, so, of course, that was Paul Gilbert with the BC Disability Caucus, and that's about it for us. I would love to see, as Paul said, a society without biases to come about. I guess my job here is to actually seed such a thing to happen, to keep talking about it, and maybe the generations to come will actually make it happen. And with that, I will talk to you guys next week. And bye for now from CITR 101.9 FM.
Hey. Good.
You guys are beating a lot of people.
If you're one of the millions of Canadians who experience depression, anxiety, or some other form of mental illness, there's a free course that can help. The Wellness Recovery Action Plan is an evidence-based program that works. It's developed and facilitated by peers who have experienced their own mental health challenges and have used RAP to recover and maintain long-term stability. It's based on the key concepts of hope, personal responsibility, education, self-advocacy, and support. For more information about the free RAP groups hosted by Vancouver Coastal Health, visit their peer-led website, spotlightonmentalhealth.com.